Isaiah 14:24-27 there. The Lord of hosts is sworn, saying, surely as I have thought. Now I want you to think of this. This is God saying. He says, as I have thought. Well, God thought. He says, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And I, as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread him upon underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart off their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. Now I want to say there's more in this word than just God dealing with Assyria, because when he's prophesying to Lucifer, you start out thinking he's talking to Babylon. But he's talking about the destroyer, Lucifer, the one that lifted himself up, that was going to be cast down by the Christ. And here he speaks of his purpose, that which he has thought, and it's God that thought. He said, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Sometimes we, so much in our land today, people are trained to think, well, if you've ever believed upon Jesus, then your every thought is God's thought. It's not. I like Brother Surface asked someone one day, because they were always telling what God told them to do. And he asked them, he said, has God ever told you to do anything you didn't want to do? And he said, well, why no? I always want to do what God tells me to do. He said, then I don't believe you've ever heard from God. Because if God speaks to you, sometimes He'll tell you to do things, not evil things, but He'll tell you to do things that you don't want to do. But He said, your thoughts are not my thoughts. As heaven is higher than the earth, so my thoughts above your thoughts. My ways above your ways. But He said, I have thought, and I have purposed it. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed. And who shall disannul? I want you to let that, just let those words sink into your heart. Get a hold of you as we go on tonight. The Lord of hosts has purposed. Who shall disannul? And His hand is stretched out. Who shall turn it back? Do you have an answer for that? When God is purposed, who shall disannul? Do you have an answer for that question? I have. What's the answer to that question? No one and no thing. Amen. And when His hand is stretched out, who shall turn it back? No one or no thing. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Let's go over to the New Testament. 2 Timothy, the 1st chapter, the 8th verse. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me, His prisoner. And I want to tell you something. We don't preach men. Brother Kirby doesn't preach men. Brother Mooney doesn't preach men. These other ministers don't preach men. But I'm going to tell you, if you become ashamed of the messenger of the gospel, you will become ashamed of the gospel. And you need to know that. Because the enemy, if it can't seek to make you ashamed of the gospel, then it'll make you ashamed of the messenger of the gospel. And when you become ashamed of the messenger of the gospel, you will become ashamed of the gospel. And he says this. He said, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose. And I want you to say, His own purpose. Say it again. His own purpose. Because God has purposed, and who shall disannul? So the Scripture says He saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. And I want to say that this, neither good nor bad. I want to say that again. We know that you're not saved by works. How many know that? That you can't work your way into salvation. You can't work your way into heaven. And of course, we're not saved because of our works. But I want to tell you that the apostle is saying a whole lot more than that in this passage of Scripture. He's saying that He saved you and He called you, and it wasn't based upon what you could do or couldn't do or had done or hadn't done. And it wasn't, listen to me, it wasn't based upon you or anything about you. Oh, that just strips us down. Because we know that we are more special to God than anything in the universe. And I want to tell you, He promised Himself He would have a special people. Now, didn't He? But we're told, I want to tell you, we don't grasp how far humanism, just downright humanism, has reached in to the church and into the gospel and everything that is preached. If it doesn't boil down to it's about you, 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 you. It's about you. It's about making you glad. It's about giving you what you want. It's about doing for you, doing for you. This is Christ. This is love. It's you, you, you. And Paul said it wasn't according to your works, and it wasn't based upon you. It was based upon His purpose and grace.
Thank you, Lord.
And I tell you, until you get over you, you're never going to see the gospel, and you're never going to know the glories of His purpose and grace.
Amen.
But He said, not according to our works. Someone said, if God could save this one, they could do so much for God. And so we spend all our efforts for this one, and we ignore someone that we said, well, they'd be good, they need to be saved, but they wouldn't amount to a hill of beans. And that one that might not amount to a hill of beans in your sight might be the next evangelist, apostle, and prophet, one that'll lay down their lives and to carry the gospel of a God that reached down and considered a hill of beans and saved him. Not according to our works. Wasn't based upon you. But based upon His own purpose and grace that was given us in Christ before the world began. Now, I want you to see this, that this was a purpose that God had and that was given for us, and I'm going to tell you, given for humanity before the world began. Now, the world began with the transgression. He didn't say before the earth, before the world began. But He doesn't tell us how far before the world began. You know, I believe this purpose of God was first expressed when He said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. That this is the purpose of God given to humanity. Let me say amen to that. Let us make man in our image. And in our likeness, it's the purpose of God. And so what did He do? He formed a man from the dust of the earth. And He breathed His breath. Someone want to tell me what the breath of God is? And it's the Holy Ghost. And you can search anywhere, any way, any shape or form. But the breath of God is the Spirit of God. And He breathed life into that man. He breathed breath of life into that man. And David said He crowned him with glory and honor. And I want to tell you, you see a little bit in there of the purpose of God given to you. Before the world began. Before someone messed it up. Before someone obeyed the serpent. Before someone ignored God's Word. God had a purpose. And I want you to hear God. And He says, "Who shall disannul what I have purposed?" We're going to stay with this passage of Scripture. I want to read a couple passages in Ephesians. In Ephesians, the third chapter. And the eighth verse, the Apostle Paul's writing. He says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery." And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but it's that the fellowship is actually a partnership. That you have a part. You, I'm talking to you, you have a part in the mystery of Christ. And I'm going to tell you this, you have a part in the eternal purpose of God. But He said, "To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world," see, this mystery was established before the world, but He said, "from the beginning of the world, when the transgression entered, this purpose and this mystery, it became a mystery. No one knew what it was. No one understood what it was. Because sin entered, and the man that God made in His image was no longer in His image. And the man that was in His likeness and crowned with His glory no longer bore the glory of God, no longer walked in the presence of God, no longer had the nature of God. And so this purpose became a mystery." And He says this, He says, "to make all men see what is the fellowship, the mystery, which your part in this mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus, to the intent that now under principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." And so, while we're not going to spend a lot of time here, He would reveal not just to the church, but in the church. And yes, in that first church, that early church, when you think of a move of God, what do you think about? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Someone help me. When you think of a mighty move of God that you'd like to see, what comes to your mind? The outpouring of the Holy Ghost, the day of Pentecost, the early church. And Paul is clear about that. He lets it be known that what God did, He did so that in the ages to come, He could show the riches of His grace. And I want to tell you that was always His purpose in the church, and to show all eternity the riches of His grace and what His eternal purpose was for man. And I want you to see this. He says there, "might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus the Lord." I want you to see something about this purpose. We often take things, well, what's God's purpose for your life? Someone mentioned today, well, they tell you if you come to the Lord, God might want you to be a great baseball player and God might want you to be a movie star. And what they're doing, they're telling people what they want to hear. They're telling them what will please their ears to think that will bring them to Christ. But this purpose is an eternal purpose. This purpose is before not only you were, it's before Adam was. It's before man was. And I want to tell you, it'll be the same purpose if the Lord doesn't come. When I lay this body down, it'll still be the same. It's His eternal purpose. And I want you to catch that. It's amazing what the apostle had to say about the purpose of God. And he says this, it was purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. It was given us in Christ before the world began. But there's more in this statement here. It's the reason that Christ Jesus came. It's the reason that He was born of a virgin. It's the reason He went to the cross. It's the reason that He shed His blood. Everything, listen to me, that God has ever done, He's worked toward this purpose.
Amen.
He said, I thought, and it shall come to pass. I have purposed. Who shall disannul? Well, back here in the first chapter of Ephesians, let's get a little insight into this purpose. I want to tell you, this purpose is so much more than that so many of the things that we even hold up as this is what salvation is, this is what salvation is. And I'm going to talk about some of those things in a minute. The Scripture says this, the third verse, Ephesians 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He's chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Wait a minute. This is something God chose when? Before the foundation. You see, God said, I thought, and I purposed. So I want you to see this. He didn't choose this, in about 3.5 years into Jesus' ministry. And He didn't choose this when you got the revelation of Jesus Christ. He didn't choose this when we called a prayer meeting and you got stirred up or I got stirred up. He chose us in Him where and when? Before the foundation of the world. That what? That we... Wait a minute. You know, I want you to listen to this, and I'm not going to certainly disannul that God's all-knowing. Those the end from the beginning. But we spend so much effort on the church trying to convince people that before the foundation of the world, God knew your name and your hair color. Some of you ladies surprised Him, didn't you? I don't mean anything by that. It was just there. But we spend so much time. He knew your name. He knew you'd be going through this. He knew, the Scripture doesn't tell you that.
Amen.
So oftentimes we take something that God said to one man and we try to make it an all-encompassing doctrine. I know that God is God, so God's not limited in anything. But I do know what the Scripture says about God and what He chose and what He knew. And here what He chose was He didn't choose Keith, He didn't choose Mary, He didn't choose whatever name you want to be, but He chose us.
Amen.
You okay with us?
Amen.
That we should be what?
Holy
and without blame before Him. When did He choose that?
Before the foundation of the world.
See, God says, I purposed. I purposed. No one's going to disannul.
Amen.
No one's going to disannul what I purpose. And when I stretch forth my hand, hallelujah! To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. When we shall see Him, there's no beauty that we should desire Him. And it's Christ. And when I stretch forth my hand, no man will turn it back. What's His purpose? And He chose it before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Let's go back over to 2 Timothy. The first chapter, 9th, 10th verse, who saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Someone listened and said, this preacher got it all wrong about how to preach the gospel. This salvation is bigger than you.
Amen.
Amen. It's bigger than your dreams. It's bigger than your ambitions. It's bigger than your want-tos. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, we read over in Ephesians that it was hid. Why was it hid? You know, I told my sons, they've heard me tell, it'll only be from the pulpit because it's something I don't want to talk about. But sometimes in ministry, I'll tell of the darkness and the depths of the sin that the Lord found me in and lifted me up out of. You say, oh, people love to hear how great a sinner you was. I know that. That's why I don't like to tell it. Amen. Because we make heroes of how bad and evil someone was. When I want to tell you, young person, you don't have to go through the darkness. You don't have to go through the pit. So many go through the pit and never come out. I've told my sons, I've told the young people of the church. The young people have said, you've always known me as Brother Keith. You've always known me as someone that went to church. They've always known me as someone that preached, ministered the gospel. They didn't know me as I was. And I'm glad of that. I'm thankful for that. You know what? Cain didn't know Adam as he was. Can you see that? Abel didn't know Eve as she was. What do you mean? They left the garden and, you know, they had children. They had a lot of children. Yeah, but they'd already lost more than you can think or imagine or contemplate. They'd already lost. They had lost the purpose of God. He said, they'll be in my image. I want to tell you, they were not in His image. I want to tell you, when sin entered, that wasn't the nature of Christ. That was the nature of the serpent. It wasn't God's image anymore that they bore. And I want to tell you how far-reaching this fall was. Their firstborn son murdered his brother. How far did they fall? And what God had purposed was hid. We can tell stories about what we think it was like, but it was hid. No one knew. No one understood. It was a mystery. Until it was manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Can you see that? The purpose, the eternal purpose, that which God promised, that which He thought, that's what He is established, was lost, and it was hid from ages and generations, though it was given to us before the foundation of the world. No one knew that what it was until the man Christ Jesus began to walk among men, and they began to, John said, our hands have handled, we have touched, and we have heard what? The Word of life. You know, until that time, there was no one that knew what life was.
Amen.
We went through a generation that Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. God wants you to have life more abundantly, overflowing. You know what was missed in that? And what made it a perversion? Is they forget the first part. I've come that you might have life. If gold and silver and cars and wealth and all everything going your way was life, then people already had life, but they didn't. And He said, I've come that you might have life, and the life I give you is going to be overflowing. And John speaks of this Jesus and says, in Him was life. And for the first time, in what was it, over 4,000 years, the purpose of God was manifest. The purpose given to you was manifest by the appearing of Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light. You see that? He brought it to light. Something that was obscured, He brought it to life. What is life? Oh, life is going 100 miles an hour while you can. Life is gathering in me and my four and building my world. Right, this is life. And all the things that people think life is, and then one day they see and they hear and they feel in this man, Christ Jesus, that they don't know yet. He's not just a man. He's the Word made flesh, the Lord from heaven. But He's bringing life and immortality to light. So that you can touch the purpose of God. You can see it. You can know it. But I want you to understand that it was the purpose given you. It wasn't the purpose given to Jesus. Listen to me. It wasn't the purpose given to Jesus. It was God's purpose given to you in Christ Jesus. And it was before the world began. And the apostle gives us insight. We're not going to spend so much time on it tonight talking about the detail or the depths. But you're going to find it that we would be in His image like He purposed from the beginning. You're going to find it, as we read in Ephesians, that we would be holy and without blame before Him in love. And Brother Jimmy, why don't we turn over Romans 8:28, and we'll probably read 4 or 5 verses there in a minute. How many know Romans 8:28? And I'll start off, for all things work. Who can finish that? Together for good to them that love God. How many can say, I love God? And then we think that's the verse. That's not the verse. That's not what the Word of God says. It says that, but it goes on. All things work together for the good of them that love God, who are the called. He uses this phrase again that we've been reading. according to His purpose. He said He chose us, called us with a holy calling according to His purpose. He gave it us in Christ according to His purpose. This apostle understood, caught a glimpse, knew that God who said, "I have purposed, who shall disannul?" And when He says this, "All things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to His purpose," He's talking about that eternal purpose. Listen to me. He's talking about God's purpose from the beginning as He wooed Israel, called Israel, said, "Obey My voice and keep My covenant. You'll be a kingdom of priests. You'll be a holy nation. You'll be a peculiar treasure. You'll be a special people to Me above all the nations of the earth." What was this? This was the purpose He had before the world began and that Adam threw away. So He offered it to Israel and they rejected it and said, "Moses, don't You let God speak with us. You give us a law." But God said, "I have thought, and it will come to pass." And God deals with man and He strives with man. And then He sends His Son, stretches forth His hand for His purpose. He said, "Who shall turn it back when I stretch forth My hand?" No power in eternity, no principality or power or might or dominion or scheme of the adversary and could turn back God's outstretched hand. Amen. Who was Christ Jesus. Scripture says, we read that He works all things after the counsel of His own will. No, we didn't read that. That's Ephesians 1, 11 and 12. "In whom we've received an inheritance, according to Him that works all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory." Put that up there, Ephesians 1, 11 and 12. We got it? Predestined according to the what? You see that again? I mean, I was shocked how often Paul's throwing this out to us, saying, "Latch on. We predestinate us." What? According to the purpose. I'm going to tell you something about predestination. We're going to see in Romans 8. But predestination is not who, but what. Amen. And if you can understand that, then you can understand predestination. If you don't understand that it's not who but what, then the only thing you're going to come up with is God made some people to go to hell, but He made me to go to heaven, bless His holy name. But when you read in the Scripture about predestination, it's always going to be what? And He predestinated us according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His own will. Here's the what, that we should be to the praise of His glory. Do you see the what in that? Do you see what God predestined? Do you see what He determined? That's what predestined, to determine in advance. I thought, I purposed, I predestined what? I'm going to have myself a people that's going to be unlike anything else. They're going to be to the praise of My glory. Amen. He predestined it. I want you to go to the next funeral of someone that you know died in their sins, and I want you to tell them, their mom, that God chose their child to go to hell. That's not the Word of God. He said, "Whosoever will, let him come and take the waters of life freely." But He predestined. Why? Because He works all things after the counsel of His will. He said, "I thought it. I purposed it. That we should be to the praise of His glory." Back to Romans, and we're going to end up in Romans 8. Romans 8, 28. "We know all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. What does that mean? He called you to be one of those. He invited you. You know what that's the gospel is? It's an invitation. It's an invitation to the preacher, to the teacher. It's an invitation to the drunk. It's an invitation to the liar. It's an invitation to the thief. It's an invitation to wherever humanity is found. It's an invitation from God to be to you and to come. And that's all He says is come. He said, and I'll wash, and I'll sanctify, and I'll cleanse, and I'll make new, and I'll make whole, and I'll make you one of those that I foreknew, that I predestined. And He says He works all things. And I want you to keep that. All things. We read in Ephesians 3. He works all things. What are we keeping? He works all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory. So why, when we go over here to Romans 8:28, we know that all things work. Well, who's working all things? It's God. And we think, and I say this, I'm not making light, because God knows your circumstance. God cares about where you are. He is touched with the feeling of your infirmities. If you'll ask Him, He will stretch forth His hand. But that being said, I'm going to tell you, when He says all things, He's going to tell us all things. He's saying everything God has done from the beginning and everything God has done in Christ is toward this purpose. And if you have accepted the purpose, that every bit of it has worked to make you one of those. If you say, well, I don't see that. Well, read. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who is called according to His purpose. He starts telling you what the all things are. For He foreknew. I said, this is what I'm going to have. He predestinated. He determined this is what they're going to be. To what? See, I said predestinated, and there's always what? He predestinated what? To be conformed to the image of His Son. He said, this is what they're going to be. Amen. They're going to be in the image of My Son. He made manifest what My purpose is. And they're going to be in the image of My Son. They're going to walk in His nature and in His glory and in His life. He foreknew, He predestinated, conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren, whom He predestinated. He called. Did He call you? Whom He called, He justified. He sent His Son to the cross. Brother Kirby is preaching. And to destroy that old man of sin. Nail Him to a cross. Make you free. Give you life. Actually, the Greek says, he that is dead with Christ is justified. And God has transformed that person. And then He says, whom He justified, He glorified. And He sent the Holy Ghost. He sent the Spirit of God. And Paul said, every bit of it, everything that God has done is based upon His purpose. That was given you in Christ before the world began. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Got to read the next verse. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? And this is where our mind goes to earthy things. But I want you to read. We read in Ephesians, He works all things. after the counts of His will. We read above that all these things work together for good. He called. He foreknew. He predestined. He called. He justified. He glorified. I want to tell you, He still sends the Holy Ghost. And He still sends the Holy Ghost. He glorified. And all of this, can you see God from eternity looking, said, I made a promise, and we didn't even go there. But Titus says, He made a promise. It was eternal life. It was a people in His likeness with His life, bearing His glory. I made a promise, and I gave it to Adam. He threw it away. I offered it to Israel. They rejected it. I sent my Son to manifest it. They crucified Him. So I said, whosoever will come. I will freely give you all things that I have worked. That I have worked according to my purpose.